The topic that I was asked to talk about today, about young people and bringing them into leadership and the necessity of young people to come into leadership if we are going to revitalize our churches. I've had a wonderful experience in the last few months. I recently moved to a part of Oslo. It's the capital city of Norway, still a small city of 600,000 inhabitants. I moved to a new part of the city, which is not the best part of the city. It's got lots of migrants, lots of social needs, almost no churches in that area. Lots of mosques, probably more mosques than churches in that part of Oslo. And I really felt the need to do something among the people where I live. And I mentioned that in some... When I get a vision or when I feel the Lord is speaking to me and I need to do something, in order for me not to just fade out and not react, respond to that calling, I have to tell people. So I told lots of people about this thing that was on my heart, this part of Oslo, in order to be accountable to the people. And it led, many young people came to me and said, "This is so good, we want to be a part of this." And they have decided now to plant a church. I know that this is revitalization, but I'm also part of a planting project in that part of Oslo. And these are kids, some of them 19, 20, just two or three of them above 30 years. And being together with them, praying, trying to find out how to go about our church plant, has been so exciting for me. And it has convinced me once again that my emphasis as a leader should be on training new leaders. So this group, they have identified three leaders for this church plant, and I've been serving as their mentor now during this winter, the last half year or so. And this has been a journey that has been very inspiring for me. And I think let's start with the start, with the beginnings. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates." This is the first Jewish creed. And what I'm interested in here is the importance of the Word of God and to impress them on your children. It's very basic and it's something that we have... we are talking about a lot, and it's no, as I said last year also, what I'm talking about here is no rocket science. It's not something that you probably haven't heard before, but it just dawned on me when I was trying to prepare for this how important it is that we really put emphasis on training our kids. I don't know where I would be today. I probably wouldn't be in leadership today if it weren't for my parents back home who taught me all the way from a very young age and in Sunday school and youth clubs and all the things that were there, then into Bible school and seminary. But it started by my parents impressing on my heart the words that were so dear to them and that they really wanted me to inherit. In our strategic process now in my organization, we want to be serious on putting emphasis on children and youth. It has often been in our ministry, if we have had financial difficulties, where we do cut is on the children's and youth ministries. And seriously, we want that to change now. We will never cut our budgets on the kids and youth ministry side. It's often the easiest thing because in our case, those who are ministering to children are often those who have been employed for the shortest time, so it's easier to lay off those people than those who are have been serving in the serious adult ministry for a long time, and it has just been like that we have put less resources into the kids and youth ministry than we really should. So I would like to suggest to you today that when you open your calendar and you are putting in the outreach that Scott talked about yesterday, and when you're planning your budget, be really serious about children and youth. If we are going to bring about revitalization of our churches, we cannot do it without young people in our leadership. And we have to be serious from a very young age. And we have to teach the families how to bring Christian life and how to bring the Word of God and prayer into their homes. In our context, in Norway, it's about to disappear. I mean, even people who are part of the congregations and, I mean, solid Christians they forget to teach their kids back home. And it's disastrous for the church. It cannot last. It will result in decline. It will result in us dying out if we are not teaching our kids back home the ways of the Lord and impress upon their heart the old, old Jewish creed and the things that God taught his followers back then is really very valid for leadership development today. Take the kids seriously. Teach them and bring them into your ministry and be bold. Be bold. The kids that are leading the church plant in Oslo now, they are really, really good young men. But I tend to see what they lack. How can they lead a church plant? They lack this and that, the training, maturity, wisdom. And then it's been such a blessing to stay close to them and to try and mentor when they ask, give some advice, trying to help them find a way. And I see them developing into leaders. If you follow the PDF file you got, you see that I'm just jumping everywhere now. And let me just, before we talk together again about this, theology matters. I'm living in a very secular country. Norway, Sweden, the Scandinavian countries, probably the most secular countries in the world, together with Netherlands and a few other countries in Europe. And the need for training, solid, basic theological education is higher than ever before. Let's be really serious when we teach our young people and when we again put up our budgets. We've had a seminary in Norway, a very small seminary, which has been close to Yeah, we've been about to close it down several times because it costs too much. There are too few students. But we have decided the last couple of years that no matter what, we are not going to close down our seminary. We are going to continue to train the young people. And God has been good to us, and the last couple of years we have had much more students than before. And we really need to teach them. There used to be the Free Faculty of Theology in Norway was established in 1908 because of the liberal influence from the state university where the theological education was. These days you can't tell the difference from the Free Faculty and the State Faculty of Theology. They have all become extremely liberal. Extremely liberal. It's you can dismiss the Word of God without even blinking. It's like, who cares what Paul wrote that many years ago? Who cares what the Bible says? Let's pull out what is can give us some useful insights today and forget the rest. And I can't live with that. We can't live with that. We have to be serious on theological training. If we are not, decline will come. We will die. We will die out as churches and ministries if we are not serious on training our young people in our seminaries. So please, let's put emphasis on theology. I have so many stories of Christian parents who tell a story that goes almost like this. We had dinner yesterday. Our kids came from school and they asked us, "Daddy, Mom, is it really true that we hate homosexuals? Is it really true that our church denies people who love one another to live together and to share their love? Is that what we really teach?" And it's coming through school, through media, the secular ideas that are taken for granted in society. So I'm really glad for this ELF and the emphasis that is put on theological training, apologetics, and all these things that we really, really need today. This may be different from what you expected to hear on how to train young people in revitalization, but to me it's crucial. To me it's something that we really need to take seriously and talk about. And that's what I will let you do now. And you can share with one another. How do we encourage and help Christian homes being real Christian homes where the Word of God is impressed on the children? And how can we really be serious on theological training of our young leaders? And how can we make sure that our budgets are there to do them in to help them do the ministry, the youth ministry? Okay, 5 minutes on that, please. Would you like to share one or two from your groups what you have discussed?
We did, for the first time in 7 years, two weeks ago, we had all the young adults from 18 years of age till about 24 do the entire service, everything, from greeting at the door, from leading the worship, from doing the offering, from serving communion, everything. It was one of the best things because we were part of, they took it so serious. They said, we didn't know it took so much to prepare a service. But we allowed them to also serve communion and to do everything. And it was great. So we want to do this more.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They probably didn't do everything the way you would have done it, but still.
Actually, a lot of things they would. They actually did.
They did. You've taught them that well.
they sent me a script, and, and you know, it was great. It was fine, but it was the seriousness that they took that really touched me. How serious they were about it, and respectful, and it was great.
Good.
Yeah. And they invited a lot of people, and they came.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
We spoke about the danger of creating a church within a church.
Mm-hmm.
And so often, I think when you delegate youth ministry, one of our groups said, you're actually relegating it. Or you're getting rid of it because you've got to focus on what your calling is or something. And it develops a life of its own, which is separate and hard to reintegrate with the life of the general church. That's the problem. We don't know what the solutions are. Structure.
We talk about structures. So there's a proper structure for ministry to happen within the context of the whole church. Having
Okay, thank you very much. Let me just clarify a small point. When I was talking about the surprised kids who come home to their parents asking all these questions, being surprised by the accusations that they get at school and all the things that are taken for granted, and that the Christian kids also will take for granted as they go to school, and if we don't teach it in school, and of course the parents tell them that no, we do not hate homosexuals, we do love them, and we want to tell them that God loves them, and that he has a good life in store for them also, which is different from what they think is the good life. God has some thoughts for us that are always good if we listen to him and obey his word. And I don't think that the gay marriage thing and so on is so much more important than all other matters in our society today. But it's just one clear sign, one clear symptom that the leaders of the church, at least of the official Lutheran church in Norway, they have left the word of God, and there is no authority in the word of God left for them, and this is one of the symptoms of that. When I was growing up in Norway, in the mid to late 70s, as a very small kid, I was very into English football. Every Saturday they would show a match from England and in Norwegian TV, and I was just so fascinated by English football. Most of my friends also, and most of my friends became Liverpool supporters. Liverpool were really good at the time. But I got a gift from my father, who was, by the way, not interested in football whatsoever, but he knew I was, so he gave me a shirt. He didn't know what it was, but it turned out to be a Manchester United shirt.
Yeah.
So from the mid-70s, I've been a really Manchester United supporter through some rough times and some good times. And it's a good passion to have. And I share it with my son. So we've visited Old Trafford 3 times and watched some matches there. When I was thinking about this, it seemed to me to be a very good comparison to compare the old manager of Manchester United, or the recent old manager, who is Jose Mourinho, with my countryman, Ole Gunnar Solskjær. You know, Mourinho didn't have a great deal of success with Manchester United, and he had to quit, and Solskjær replaced him and had great success, at least for 10 matches or so. Then he was employed as he got his the contemporary manager. Then he was employed as the manager, and it all went down. So I don't know how good that example is, but when Solskjaer came to United, everything turned around, at least for, as I said, 10-15 matches, and he was asked, what are you doing? What kind of principles are you applying here? The players that looked scared and out of place and didn't perform under Jose Mourinho, suddenly they start playing football and they are winning every game. And Solskjaer said that I'm just here to bring joy to them. I let them know that they are the best footballers in the world and they should go out on the pitch and just express themselves and be thankful for the chance of playing football in the world's greatest football club, Manchester United. I know all of you agree with me on that. And it really touched me and spoke into my life and my task. I agree with you. It's bringing up young leaders, or the youth ministry as such, is nothing that I as a leader can just give to someone else and not care. I should be a guy who really shows the young people that I care. I'm willing to spend time with them. And I don't know what kind of cultures you come from. I've spent some time in Africa, and I've seen so many leaders who are like Mourinho. They are really, what they really do is spreading fear among the young people. Because they are so harsh. They are so tough and so strict. And they really know what kind of rules should apply to Christian ministry and to youth ministry. And the kids are just full of fear and unable to perform in a good way. And it shows. They are not happy. They are fearful. And they are obeying their leaders and doing their tasks. But there is no freedom, no joy, no way of expressing themselves. So I just pray that my leadership and that our leadership could be the kind of, let's use him, Solskjaer leadership, that allows young people to express themselves and to really perform. And they will do mistakes. That's why I was hoping that you would say that no, the kids didn't do exactly like I wanted, but of course they will do mistakes. They will do things different than you would have done, and probably not the best way always. But we just have to trust them. We have to delegate. We have to help them express themselves by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the help of the instruction and guidance they have received from the Word of God from a very young age to now, and with our careful and loving instruction, they can grow into wonderful, strong, happy, secure leaders. And they are already leaders. A mistake that I have done sometimes, and I've heard many Christian leaders, is that they are our future leaders. But they are our leaders right here and right now. Even from a very young age, we should consider them important leaders and nurture them and help them to reach their God-given potential. It's such an important task, even more important than leading United to their next Premier League title. So we should really be prayerful about that. About United also, yes. Now, Manchester United is not in my prayers, I can tell you that. Because it's all about creating relationships. It's all about being mentors. And I have tried intentionally to be a mentor for young people for many years without not really having a great deal of success on that. But then accidentally I just stumbled into this church plant last year, and it's been a new world that has opened to me. Do you know that young people these days are really looking for older, experienced people to guide them? I've been told that for many years, but I haven't seen it. And I've said, well, that must be wrong. The young people are rebellious like I was when I was a kid, and I don't buy that they are really looking for guidance. But from my experience the past half year or so, I can tell you it's true, at least for the kids in Oslo. It's true. They really value my insights. They really want to listen to what I and other experienced leaders have to tell them. They are really longing for a relationship with a more experienced leader to guide and lead them along the path. To me, it's been so good that we have a very concrete project. This is what we are going to do together to plant this church. And it's been so natural for me to step in there and for them to ask me and for me to being their mentor. But I would challenge all of you to think through your ministry and to see, to ask the Lord to give you an opportunity to really become a mentor. And in my experience, it is true. They do want it. The young people really want mentors.
Yeah. And I think also the young people, they're looking for answers. They're looking for people they respect, they can share their situation with. And I think as mentors, they don't want people that just tell them more rules to obey, but people that are listening, that are understanding, that are kind of seeking to lift them up.
Mm.
And I think that's what you're doing with your young people.
Mm.
And so, especially from a situation where you come out of a very authoritarian leadership structure, the young people, yeah, they are afraid. And they feel that they will be judged, they will be criticized. And so it's the mentoring that's, another word for discipling.
Mm.
It's asking questions. It's helping them grow.
It's mentoring, it's discipling. That's true. In my context, you will soon be able to talk a little bit together again. In my context, it's been like the tendency has been to say that we have to protect our kids. We have to shelter them. We have to keep them away from the world so that they are safe within our congregations or our we have to keep them safe, and we have to exercise authority in order for them to understand what is right and what is the truth, and only that way can they be kept as Christians and become good Christian leaders. And I think that we have to do it totally different. They need to be exposed to whatever is going on in society. We can't hide. Sooner or later, they will realize themselves. And there are so many examples of people who have been sheltered up to a certain time, and then when they meet the real world in university or whatever, they are just leaving the faith because it can't be true. It can't be. So let's go alongside our young people in the real world. Teach them solid theology and being their mentors along the road. And by this, by helping our kids having a deep understanding of the theology, of the Bible, of what God is telling us today, and helping them as they meet different challenges back in their schools, in their everyday life, in their sports club or whatever, gently guide them along the way in the world. we can have some leaders who can really inspire change in our congregations, in our churches, and who can really revitalize what we are doing. So let's have a few minutes of talking about different leadership styles, Mourinho or Solskjaer, and how we can mentor the young people in our congregations in order for them to really become leaders of innovation, revitalization, and renewal of our churches. Let's move on and wrap up this session now. I love coffee, and I hate queuing long lines. So my ambition, David, is that we are the first network out there for the coffee. Okay? Yeah. Good. Then we will we agree on that. It's no rocket science. This is about loving our young people, caring for them. It's about remembering how you were as a young leader. I have already shared when I first came to Norway and being put in charge of the East Africa ministries and my failure to bring about change because I was so impatient and had such a strong will and forgot to respect and to ask for advice and to listen to those who were opposing change and appreciating the past. And when you meet young people that are like that, you should love them. You should care for them. You should allow them to express themselves. You should tell them that they are the most valuable people in your congregation, in your church, and you should help nourishing them to reach their potential as leaders. And you should acknowledge that they are already important leaders if you want revitalization to happen. Many times in my context, what really hinders revitalization is the conflict between generations. So please tell your kids back home that you've got their backs, that you want to support them. When they meet opposition and difficult times, you will be there for them, to support them, not always telling them that they are right, but always supporting them and always telling you that you love them and you need them in your church and you want to support them through opposition and through whatever may come in their life as leaders. This is all about loving them, caring for them, and being behind them in all situations. So that's my simple message to you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you because you have called us into your presence, and you do always love us. You do always meet us with grace, forgiveness, and you will always care for us. Lord, we want to follow you as disciples, as your disciples, and we pray that some of your image could be seen in us as we try to minister to our young people, to train them, and to guide them through all the difficulties, all the hardships of being young leaders. Lord, help us realize that we need the young people and help us to care for them and help the generations to live together in order for your church to thrive, to grow, and to be renewed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.